All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Doug Thornton. You are listening to American Vindicta. And we are continuing on the America's Most Unexplained series. Today's episode is 91. Man, we are rocking and rolling. Well, we're going to talk about the next evolution of this series of UFOs. And we're going to go over some craft today that seem to be, I guess you could say, the most notable from the whole UFO phenomena. And we're going to go over the TR-3B. We're going to go over a little bit about orbs. And then, you know, we'll get into some other topics to see where this goes. Real quick before we go there, I would like you to know that mountain-state-survival.com has a special 5% off if you use Wrecker5, R-E-K-K-R-5. You can get 5% off of your purchase from mountain-state-survival.com. I have been inundated with pictures and videos and commentary from you, the listeners, of your local stores, or hearing the rumors and stories from friends and family of stores that are running out of food. We hear from the elitist, we hear from the political adversaries of America that there's going to be a soon coming food shortage. I don't like to give credibility to something that doesn't have credibility. However, I just came back from Walmart. I'm sitting there having to get some stuff for my nephew's birthday party. And you know, I'm like, oh, well, while I'm in here, I might as well get some baby formula. And they were almost completely wiped out. And I mean almost completely wiped out. I got 3 cans of what I needed. And, I mean, there were already people waiting in line behind me. And everything's been limited to just 5 cans a person. Ammunition is going up. Gun sales are going to start going up. Because people are going to start getting scared. And they're going to start buying guns again. If they ever stopped. We see what's happening in Russia and Ukraine as an ongoing threat to the world. And, you know, luckily, we'll say this, luckily what's happened in Europe has not grossly affected what's happened to us here in the U.S. I want to say it seems like cooler heads are prevailing. And, you know, gas prices aren't exactly where they need to be. They're not Donald Trump era gas prices, but they're not horrific within the $5, $6, $7 range. Now, experts are still, the economists are still projecting that by July, that could still be a very real thing. I don't know what most of you are going to do whenever you have to pay $7 a gallon for gas, but I'm going to be awfully pissed. You know, it's hard enough right now just making an honest dime, even doing what I'm doing. And, you know, I'm in the point where I'm needing to branch out maybe and get into some different ventures out there. But all of you right now listening, you should be looking at getting more than one source of income right now. There are multiple venues out there, you know, besides just going to getting the 8-to-5 job. If you need to pick up another shift somewhere because you don't have the adequate amount of stuff to stock up with, or you don't have that nest egg, I'm telling you right now, put yourself through just a little bit of pain. Get a second job if you need to. Start mowing grass if you need to. Be creative. Build fences. Build chicken coops. That's one thing I do. You know, be creative. Try and have a little bit extra revenue coming in, because the time is coming when we are, I think, going to be completely forced into the Fed coin. Dave Hodges and I have been talking about that offline for a while now. And the Fed coin is going to be the, due to the hyperinflation of the dollar. The whole goal is to take us into a digital currency. And at that point, you know, there'll be a grace period for while you can still use cash and coin. And then they're going to start telling people to send cash and coin in to your local governments or to the IRS or whomever. And then, you know, you'll get your percentage, your digital currency added to your monthly stipend, I guess. That is so New World Order-like that it's not even funny that we're going down this route. But Australia is going down this route. Ukraine is. Europe is. I bet you Canada will soon. America's already talking about it. And we just have to ask ourselves, what in the hell is going on? And why do we need to do this right now? There's an agenda. We don't all know what the agenda completely goes into, but we know the better portion of it, that it's not for the betterment of me and you. Yeah. Just think of it. If we go into this whole digital currency thing, one power outage, you got no money. Zero. Like zero money. You know, I grew up on Southeast Texas where we had a lot of really bad storms, hurricanes and floods. And if it ever got to where, you know, we were in flood season, you'd always make sure you go and get some extra cash. You'd always have a little extra cash on hand. But what happens when there's no more cash on hand? What's your answer for that? When you can't just go to the ATM? You know, the government has this great methodology that it does, and it's called putting the cart before the horse. So they roll out all this stuff, and then they never really work out the bugs of it until years later, when all of us have all suffered from it. So I'm telling you, prepare now. While God has given us a grace period, I don't know what you want to call it, but America's not on fire. We're not in war with anybody yet. No one's invaded America yet. And the economy's still up and rolling for now. So I would strongly advise you to do whatever it is that you need to do to start paying off debt. Have no debt. Oh, no, man. Have no debt. Pay off your credit card bills. Get your truck payment paid down or paid off. If you know, have a 30-year fixed rate loan for your mortgage and you've only been in that house for 20 years or for 10 years, hey, that's just something we got to deal with. If you can pay your house off, pay it. I have strongly considered selling my property just to be able to go even further out into the sticks and live in another means. There are other means to live besides just doing the whole mortgage thing, you know, but you got to be smart, and everything takes cash. Everything, you know, the banks are, it's harder and harder to get loans from banks now, even for raw land. So, you know, if you're a handyman like me and you know how to use tools, you know how to build stuff, you know, I can prevent a lot of my own cost, but, you know, general contractors cost a lot. Banks aren't giving out loans. And then you have to have the proper credit score. And then, the bank has to feel right that day in order to give you anything. So I would just tell you, if you are in the means of needing to move out of the suburbs, out of the cities, have your ducks in a row. There are other ways of doing this. You can get a really nice fifth wheel and a diesel to pull it. Buy you a piece of property. Build you a steel building out there. They don't cost that much. put all the furnishings inside that steel building like you normally would for a house. Just make it smaller and live out of the fifth wheel and the steel building until you get the chance to build what it is that you need. There are options out there, and that's a very popular option here in Texas. But I see what's coming as this great reset that they keep talking about. They won't stop talking about it. So we need to make that a mission of ours to be ready for it. The great reset will be you not owning anything and liking it. It will be you not owning firearms and loving it. It'll be you not owning a vehicle. Everyone will have a vehicle that, you know, is rented. They'll want to rent out different spaces of your home that you don't use regularly. They want to monitor every single thing you do in your home. And then we have the job problem. With the Great Reset, it's supposed to go away with a lot of jobs. And they're going to, in turn, give you money to live on as a stipend. You kind of saw that with what happened during the COVID lockdowns, where people were getting these 500 to whatever amount checks, and the government was paying for you to live. You know, it didn't work that well. Not everybody got the same check. And I remember when I was still at work and at downtown Fort Worth, and people would come up and say, "Hey, what am I supposed to do? I'm not getting my monthly, COVID checks." I have no idea what you're supposed to do with that. Go talk to IRS. And IRS doesn't know what to do with it either, because they don't control it. So the government, it's a house of cards that are being put together in a strong wind. And it's constantly failing. It's failing because the people in the government, for the most part, are incompetent. Now, I will say within the realms of law enforcement, it's not too bad. But within the realms of the administrative offices, my God, is it a catastrophe. And it's because of nepotism, because we hire our friends, or we hire whoever we think might be cool to talk to, but they don't hire very competent people regularly. So, you know, with that being said, I'm just going to lay it to you out like this. And I got friends of mine that are still in the government that listen to me, and some shake their head and laugh. But, you know, they know what I'm going to say. Do not count on the government for anything. There are many people out there who are being fooled into thinking that the government's going to be here for you, that they're going to take care of you. That's not true. That's not true. Ask any person that's ever been involved in FEMA, or any person that's ever been involved in a natural disaster zone or a disaster recovery center operations. It's not run well. We get a whole bunch of logistical stuff, and it's a nightmare to get that logistical lift up and off the ground and get it, you know, to a disaster relief area. But, you know, just imagine if we can't do it in a localized area like one state, if we can't properly manage one state, from the power outages, the trees being cut down, the flooding, the fires, homes destroyed, people displaced, now being forced to live in hotels, you know, and then the government doesn't give you anything back for your home that's destroyed, your insurance doesn't give you anything back for your home that's destroyed. That should be more than enough of an example for you to know that you are on your own when all this stuff starts to break down. And we have a completely functioning society. You have food, fresh water, electricity on demand. You know, we have all the emergency services, the hospitals, police. We got the an active military that can come in and help in a disaster recovery scenario. But when it all goes bad and it all goes dark, those people, they will not be there for you. The government will not be there for you. Law enforcement won't be there for very long. It will be up to you to be your own first responder. It will be up to you to survive. Prepare accordingly. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
All right, and welcome back. So now that we got all that depressing madness out of the way, sometimes I like to stand on my soapbox and scream and yell and shout. I have not been feeling that way lately. I just want to go ahead and let all you know. If it sounds like I've been somber, it's because I have been. I don't know why. Can't tell you why. I'm pretty upbeat and positive all day long. Then when I sit in front of this damn computer and I start to do a recording, lately I have just got this, God, I want to say melodramatic somberness to me, where everything is bad and it's horrible and bad things are coming, and I don't know why, but that's what's like. It feels like that's being put upon my heart to speak that way, to talk that way, and to tell you, the audience, that this is what I'm feeling. Are you feeling the same? All you out there who love to communicate with me, are you feeling the same? Do you look at our country right now and you think we're in a great spot in history? Do you look at our country right now and you see what's happening over in Disneyland? Here I am, I'm up on my soapbox already. And you see what's happening over in Disneyland with the pedophiles, the trans rights, and all this other crap. You know, in 1967, the government of Florida gave basically Disneyland their own dominion of their own territory, so they can do whatever they want in Disneyland, even to include how they enforce laws, and the state doesn't really get into it. Well, now, because Disneyland decided to go full woke, now the state legislators of Florida are talking about taking that act away, the 1967 act, and making them accountable to the rest of Florida. For one thing, does it sound fair or right at all that just because this super billionaire amusement park over here, just because they're as big as they are and they have as many people that come there, that they should be given their own dominion? They don't have to more or less abide by the laws of everybody else? I don't know, I find that strange, pisses me off a little bit. Because where's the accountability? Now there's not accountability. But hopefully Ron DeSantis, who I am, I really admire. I know some bad things about Ron DeSantis, by the way. I do know some bad things. I don't want to say bad, troubling. We'll just say troubling things. I'm not going to say the things that I can ignore and overlook, but right now I'm forced to. But Ron DeSantis is doing a great job with this state and was standing up against the left. Let's just hope that he stays in power and can right the wrongs of that beautiful state. Florida's a gorgeous state. All you Floridians out there who listen to me, man, that is a fisherman's paradise. It used to be, I used to think, where half my family lives in Louisiana, that was a fisherman's paradise. And, you know, in some of them tributaries and backwater bayous, we can get some nasty-sized bass. Good-sized catfish. But, man, there's nothing like going out to Florida and just, you know, being able to see for hundreds of yards out and see the fish, see the sharks. It's beautiful. But politics are destroying it. The left is destroying it. Once again, look at the map of the United States right now. Point out to me where you think is safe. If prophecy hit the fan, where would you go? Where would you go where there's not a cesspool? Where would you go where the Democrats hadn't completely screwed it up to the point that, you know, hey, it's so bad the MS-13s, the notorious satanic gang of Honduras, or and El Salvador, because they're kind of mixed back and forth. It's so bad that in almost every Democratic state, there is a epicenter of MS-13s. I just think it's crazy. I think it's crazy. We've allowed our country to become this giant shithole. No one cares anymore. Nobody cares anymore. The people that do care, we get demonized by the government, then we get demonized by stupid people on the left who still wear their damn face diapers. They still walk around saying 6 feet difference, or hey, you know, don't call me this gender, you misgendered me, when it'll be some like 6'3" lumberjack looking guy wanting to be a little girl for the day. And you've all seen that video, haven't you? That big dude who's in a he's in like a 7-Eleven, and he's like, it's ma'am. Call me ma'am. Yeah, sure thing, Brian Urlacher. All 6'4" of you. Look, we're losing what it meant to be Americans right now. I really wish we would go back to the 1800s at this point. I really wish we could just hit the reset button and reapply a little bit of dangerous freedom, because it would change people's tunes. You know why people act the way they do right now? It's because they're comfortable. It's because they can go get their steaming hot lattes from Starbucks, and then they can go to their Black Lives Matter rally, and then they could say, well, I'm a trans right, blah, 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 and I'm an activist, and I believe in X, Y, and Z, and I'm here because white men are evil. I've been at those protests. I've heard them. I've worked those riots. By the way, Antifa, thank you for helping me pay for my side-by-side. We're losing our country every day. And people are losing faith in our country. There was a poll recently from Fox News. Ex-DHS Secretary Chris Wolf. Awesome freaking guy. Awesome guy. Man, I wish I could get him on this show one time. But he was talking about a poll where 46% of Democrats say that America's not worth saving. That if we get invaded, America's not worth fighting for. 46%. Now, you gotta understand, when we talk about polls, they'll send a text message out or an email out, and it'll be to 2,000 to 5,000 people, okay? And they'll say, you know, this is the basic demographic of the United States. Up there in New York, where they send these polls out, I expect to see 46%. I expect that. But you go up into northern Wyoming, and you get up there into that rough country, that rough cowboy country, them oil rig countries. Montana, Texas, parts of Colorado, North Dakota, South Dakota, you know, the Utahs, New Mexicos, where you have a bunch of good roughneck people. Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kentucky. Man, I could keep going with this. These demographics that are in these polls, who like Biden, who hate Trump, who say America's worthless, we're not even worth defending from a foreign invader, that is not a reflection of America. I refuse to believe it. I refuse to believe that nobody is out there from MAGA country and are being reflected in these polls, because it's absolute ludicrous bullshit. Everyone listening to me right now, what do you feel when you see the American flag on the ground, spit on, stomped on, and set on fire by an anarchist? I'll give you 5 seconds. First thing that probably comes to your head, anger. I want to rip it up off the ground, and I want to rip someone's head off for doing that to my flag, because you spit on my flag. That's my flag. I gain ownership of that flag. Every American does. And you spit on the rights of every American, and every American who fought and died, not just for your right to live as a citizen, from the military to law enforcement, but from the civil rights aspect of that. But we give so much leeway to evil people, and then they take it, and like a fish on a hook, they run with it out to sea. Eventually, you can't reel them in anymore. You've given too much line. By the time you do reel them in, the line is so worn thin, it's just going to snap, and they get to run away with the rights. We've done that. We gave it to them. We didn't stand up when we needed to. And so because of that, everything's coming to these next series of events. I still believe, and I'm sure some of you are tired of hearing me say it, I'm going to keep saying it until God shuts my mouth on it. America, we are heading for a civil war. I don't think it's avoidable. I don't want it to happen, but I don't think it's avoidable. The world is on the precipice of another major war. Wars always follow economies crashing. When economies start to crash, taxes are too high. The peasants, we the poor people, when we start to get a little bit too much pressure from the boot on the back of our neck from the government, people start to rise up. That's when you start to have your small revolutions. Revolutions gain popularity quite quickly. And then you have governments forming up against each other. Most times it's for natural resources, land, oil. That's what we see happening right now. Saudi Arabia won't even give us oil. Venezuela won't. Iran won't. Russia won't. Russia's like, screw you. You want oil? Pay for it in gold. That's what they're telling the UK right now. In the UK, Germany anyway, said, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to pay rubles and gold for your oil. Okay. Go ahead, Germany. Let's see how long you got. Because you can be that big and haughty of a person now, but when it starts to get cold, Russia will be waiting for your money. And you'll give it to them. Because you sold your country down the river. And because you went the whole new Green Deal, this whole new age new Green Deal, you screwed everybody. Now you're going to be forced to buy the enemy's oil. That's fantastic, isn't it? So here we go. Civil War, World War. What happens when the aliens come? What happens the day we see that big black triangle in the sky, or the big mothership saucer? And they come down saying, we are your alien saviors. You sin too much. You spend too much. You're involved in greed to the point that you're willing to kill one another with nuclear fire. We're here to stop it all. That's what Jamin Walden and I got into the other day on this last podcast. And I'm telling you, I agree with a lot of it. I really do, because I see the perception of that from the Christian point of view is that the whole world is in sin. And so these perfect beings who know no sin, supposedly, come down from the sky or come up out of the ocean, and they are our saviors. Horseshit. I don't believe it. Don't believe it. I won't believe it. The reason why I'm telling you this right now is just in case this little freak show of a scenario actually has any plausibility, if it actually happens, you'll know I told you, and probably about 1,000 other people who's been doing this since way before me told you, it's called a deception. The Decepticons. They're not our saviors. They're not our star brethren. I don't care what technology they bring. I don't care how much they wax poetically in front of us. I don't care how much they let Biden sniff their hair. Maybe they'll sniff his hair. Maybe they'll teach him a new way to sniff. And on the other hand, if the aliens come out of the sky right before World War III starts, and they have a giant banner that says, "Let's go, Brandon," on the back, even though I'll laugh, even though I'll clap, I'm still going to say, that's a deception. Because they could come and say, "We are your alien saviors from yourselves," or they could come and say, "We are your alien saviors from these groups of evil people." The Democrats, the Soros, the Clintons, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Bilderberger Group, the Bohemian Grove Group, the New Age is coming to fight the Old Age. Do not be fooled by the deception. You have only one way to be saved, redeemed, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Period. I don't care what the ufologists say. I don't care what History Channel's Ancient Aliens say. It's a cool thing to watch. I watch it all the time. I laugh my butt off when I see some of the stuff these guys say, because they're just pulling half the stuff out of their head. But there's always a war against Christ. Always. Always. It's always going to be against Christ, no matter what you hear. Even if they say, "Hey, we are the Christ. We are all Christ. We are all the same as the one that you call Jesus." Many will come in his name, but they will not be he. Just remember, signs and lying wonders. These entities, these creatures, whatever we want to call them, they have nuts and bolts technology. They also have technology that we don't understand. The government has tried to make it to where we can understand it to an extent, and they suck at it. But there is a level of deception and art that is wrapped up together where they're going to want you to believe it, and to a point, you're going to want to believe it. Part of what Jesus was saying for eschatology: when I come back, will there be any faith left in the world? Will anyone have faith in me that I am your Redeemer? I am the Savior. And because there will not be that much faith left in the world, even though during the end times, during the tribulation, more people will be saved. Hallelujah on that. More people will come to know Christ as their Redeemer, as their Savior. But there will be a great falling away. And there are plenty of different options out there for the great falling away. The Antichrist is always the one that is the most, I guess you could say, infectious of that, because it will happen. The Antichrist will come after a war, stopping the war, ending the war with his own army. It doesn't matter. I've heard all the different viewpoints and aspects of this from theologians and Bible experts. And I'm not going to say I'm a baby in Christ. I do prefer the meat over the milk, but I think sometimes people get really wrapped up in wanting to be right and wanting their theory to be heard, instead of just saying, "Hey, this is going to happen," regardless of what your theology is, regardless of what your doctrine is. Doctrine is probably one of the worst things that ever happened to the Christian faith. Because there will be a element of that who will say, "Hey, that's our saviors over there. That like Gabriel and Michael, that's who they say they're with." People will fall for it, and people will kill you for not going along with it. They'll call you the heretic. They'll burn you at the stake, just like the Catholics used to do not too long ago. That's the whole problem with man-made religion at this point, with the man-made doctrines. That's why I just read the Bible, follow the Bible, distrust almost everything that a major world leader tells me. Especially major world leaders in religion. I don't know, there's always an agenda. There always is an agenda. You want to hear an agenda? Here's a good agenda for you. This is from the Pope, from 2014. Pope Francis. He said, if, for some example, tomorrow an expedition of Martians came, and some of them came to us, here, Martians, right? Green with that long nose and big ears, just like the children paint them. And one says, but I want to be baptized. What would happen? What would happen? Well, you know, in my perfect world, I'm going to baptize the alien in fire. Because I'm not baptizing you in the name of Christ. So, yep, sorry. Redemption is for humans. But you have an entire religion out there, and you have people within the Vatican who strongly believe that we are actually the ones who are going to be baptized by the aliens, because the aliens are closer to God. They don't live on the sin-filled world. If the government is covering up knowledge of aliens, they are doing a better job at it than they do at anything else. That was Stephen Hawking. I have to agree. I have to agree with that. The government sucks at doing almost every single portion of its job now because it's too big and ran by too many incompetent people. But they are really good at hiding whatever it is that has to do with alien disclosure, artifacts, craft, archaeological sites. You name it. Hey, let's take another good quote out. Now, I think this is a good one, actually. And this is from Dr. Isaac Asimov. He said, the energy requirements for interstellar travel are so great that it is inconceivable to me that any creatures piloting their ships across the vast depths of space would do so only in order to play games with us over a period of decades. If they want to make contact, they would make contact. If not, they would save the energy and go elsewhere. I'm in this part of this game right now. I've always kind of been in that part of the boat, I guess you could say. If you wanted to do something, you're going to do it. Why would you fly millions or billions of light years and whatever? Why would you go from where you were to here, risking everything from interstellar travel, if they're not using the Einstein method of the wormhole, if they actually physically went from one part of the galaxy to another to here? Well, I mean, the meteorites, the asteroids, the loose debris hitting a spacecraft. Look at what happens to the international spacecraft all the time. You know, that thing gets hit by solar storms, by debris. And every couple months, these people are like, oh, well, today's the day we're probably all going to die. And then the astronauts get out there and fix everything with duct tape and putty. But if this race of extremely intelligent beings were going to come out here and visit us, don't you think they would just land like, hey, you people are weird. We must look weird to you. Let's commerce together. You know? But they don't do that. That doesn't happen. Now, there are the fantastical stories from the black ops and the blah, 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 who say that all this stuff happens, that the world is encircled by alien armadas. I've researched it and I've heard it, and I don't believe any of it at this rate. I really don't. You know, it's not the same argument I want to get in with the flat earthers. That I've had those arguments with those people, and they're relentless. Bless their hearts. However, there are things that are being hidden. I believe more in the intradimensional beings, I guess you could say, than I would the interstellar. Now, I'm not saying that they couldn't be sitting on Saturn right now, but the way, if you look at a lot of these reports, go to MUFON and read the case files. I've been doing that lately because I'm a nerd. I read the case files. And actually, one of you, one of the listeners, sent me their own MUFON case file. And I'll tell you what, this is a... Actually, I'm going to get on this before we talk about anything else. If you want to prove to me who, you know, 14 years in the government, man, 10 years of being in law enforcement, I like facts. I like reasonable suspicion that leads me to a probable cause. I like documented evidence. I want to see... I want to feel, I want to touch, I want to hear witness testimony, keep witness statements, I want to see the legal documents, I want to see the damn pictures from satellites, I want to see the pictures, I want to see the video, the cockpit footage from the planes, from the helicopters. I don't want to hear people's imaginary belief stories because it doesn't help the narrative. It doesn't help with this topic. And I had a listener who sent me their own MUFON report, and it was excellent. I want to know the who, what, where, when, why, and how. In my mind, that's how I process everything. It's worked like that for government documents for decades, so let's continue to go that route. If you see something, who you are. If you see something, where were you? What were you doing? Who were you with? What was the time of day? What was the atmospheric conditions like that day? Was it rainy, cloudy, clear skies, night, day? How many craft? Give me a description of the craft. Better yet, draw it. Don't point it out to me in a picture. Draw it. If anything, I'll get you crayons. Try not to eat them all. Draw it, color it. I want to see it because that's documentation from what you're telling me is something, a real event. That's how I would categorize all this. But there's too many events out there right now where people are like, oh yeah, man, I saw something in the sky. It was crazy. You just believe me. I'm not going to believe you until you start giving me coordinates, wind direction. You start giving me a location. Be a better observer, I guess. There is a place you can go on YouTube. I've mentioned it before. I'll mention it again. Where you can see some of the most fantastic videos of the unidentified aerial phenomena. And that's called Secure Team on YouTube. The guy who runs it, his name's Tyler. I have recently contacted him to see if he'd want to do an interview with me. So if you feel like bugging him, say, hey, do an interview with American Vindicta Show. Because I have a million and one questions that I want to ask this guy about this. Because right now, as we see it, there is an uptick in UFO activity. And it seems like UFO activity goes up and down with the documentation and people seeing these events. And I think we're probably going to get into the field because the world's kind of getting to this weird, chaotic place. I think we're about to get into a real big uptick of UFOs. That's what I think. So, on to the next story, since I've ran my mouth for like 20 minutes straight. In fact, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back with everything else.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, you will own nothing and you will love it. And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it. Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Okay, and we're back. This is American Vindictive. So let's talk about some UFOs. So I'm getting this from Stacker.com, and the article is Texas is the number four state with the most UFO sightings. It's actually a pretty good article. UFO sightings date back to biblical times. In the Bible's book of Ezekiel, a mysterious ship is described as appearing from the sky in Chaldea, modern-day Kuwait. Strange sightings were recorded around Rome in 218 BC. A wave of mysterious apparitions showed up on the 4th century China when a moon boat was documented floating over the country once every 12 hours. A smattering of other unfamiliar objects in the sky were noted in Germany in 1561, Hull, England in 1801, and multiple times during World War II when Allied pilots used the term Foo Fighters to describe the odd circles of lights pilots noticed flanking their planes during combat. The term UFO, short for Unidentified Flying Object, was coined in 1953 by the United States Air Force as a bucket term for unexplained sightings and the like. Stateside sightings were hardly restricted to military flyover zones, however. The first recorded UFO sightings dates to 1639, long before the era of planes and satellites, when John Winthrop wrote in his diary about a large strange light in the sky that shot back and forth. By the time he and the other men on his boat got their wits about them, their vessel was a mile down the road from where they originally spotted the light. Now, since its founding in 1974, the National UFO Reporting Center, NUFORC, has documented around 90,000 UFO sightings, with almost 95% of those sightings supposedly easily explained away as military tests, weather balloons, or terrestrial activity. Using data from NUFORC's 24/7 hotline, which has been around since 1974, the website Stacker compiled a ranking of the state's most reported UFO sightings. The data set includes reports dating back to 1400. For each state, we've also included details of famous UFO sightings in that state. Of note, is that almost three-quarters of all UFO sightings reported in the United States, this is actually pretty cool to learn, occur between 4 p.m. and midnight and tend to peak, which would mean the time when you're going to see the most, alien UFO traffic in the sky, between 9 and 10 p.m. at night. Food for thought the next time you go out scoping for alien life. All right. Now, by the numbers, Texas. Texas has a report of 3,848 sightings thus far. Several of Texas' most famous recordings of UFO activity had multiple witnesses garnering more credibility than other, one-off documentation, and raising additional unanswered questions. Such was the case in January 2008, when dozens of residents in a tiny town of Stephenville, Texas, not too far from me, reported white lights floating over Highway 67 in a single arc that then moved silently into vertical parallel lines. Although the Air Force claimed F-16s had been flying in that proximity at the time, eyewitnesses disputed those claims, saying the lights were too far advanced for such a simple explanation. The first documented image of a UFO was captured in 1870 on the summit of Mount Washington in New Hampshire. More sightings were reported at Mount Rainier in Washington, 1947, and of course, in Roswell, New Mexico. Since then, countless numbers of unusual shapes in the sky and their supposed inhabitants have been exhaustively reported without any sufficient explanations beyond the possible existence of extraterrestrial life. A surge in eyewitnesses' accounts begot even more sightings, along with the attempts to protect against invasions and abductions. More than 40,000 Americans bought into alien protection insurance. You've got to be kidding me. Which offers customers monetary relief should a loved one get carted away by the little green men. One Roper poll in 1991 suggests that around 4 million Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. The long-standing official position of the U.S. government has been that claims of alien life stem from hoaxes or mistaking other objects like weather balloons for UFOs or alien life. A highly anticipated U.S. intelligence report on UFOs, due to release in Congress on June 25th, is unlikely to change that position. Leaks ahead of its release suggests that the official ruling will be that no evidence of alien life has been found, but conveniently can't be ruled out. Now, this article was wrote in 2021. States with the most UFO sightings: California, over 10,333 sightings. Florida, 5,826 sightings. Washington State, 4,351 sightings. That is your ranks for number 1, 2, and 3 for most seen aerial phenomena in the sky. States with the fewest UFO sightings: number 1, Washington, D.C., with 87 sightings. Well, I'm not surprised. I'm really not. Most of the people out there have their heads so far up their asses they can't see anything. Number 2, North Dakota, 192 sightings. Now, I'll say something about North Dakota. Though you guys may not be seeing that many UFOs, this is just what's reported. And there are plenty of things within these states, a lot of the flyover states, like Wyoming, who has 266 sightings. There are other phenomena, like the whole Bigfoot phenomena, that the First Nations people, and if you're a First Nations person, and you have any of that, any of those stories, the tribal stories, the elder stories, or any of your own accounts from what you've seen on the reservations, let me know. But I think when we look at this, we have to understand that this is just what's being reported. Most people are too lazy to report anything. So, you know, if you see something in the sky and you feel like making the attempt to get on MUFON and fill out one of their ridiculously long reports, that's awesome. But what's going on with the information? That's what I would like to know. What are we going to do about it? We have plenty of information. What are we supposed to do with all this stuff? All right. Right now, that's all I got for you, ladies and gentlemen. I know that I got on my political soapbox a little bit. I apologize. I'm supposed to be talking about aliens. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the craft, TR-3B. We're going to talk about orbs. We're going to talk about the UFOs and the nuclear missile sightings and the interferences that UFOs have had with nuclear missiles. And we're going to see where we can get with that. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, that's all I got for you. Stay prepared. Stay vigilant. Don't go to sleep during these times. Don't think that you live in this can never happen to me land. All right. My name is Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm out. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.